You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its day on what is essentially a half day, I suppose, on the JSE Securities Exchange because of the public holiday Heritage Day tomorrow in the Republic of South Africa. With me to describe the action such as it was is Nick Kunze from Sandton Private Wealth in Johannesburg. Nick, this is going to be a tough one, isn't it? You're going to have to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear because there's nothing going on apart from the weakness in the rand, I think.
Evening, Lindsay. Yes, besides the weakness in rand, funny enough, rand was actually quite strong at one point today. It was down at sort of, was beneath that 1490 level, 1482 or 83 at one point. But I think most of the trading day dominated by what's happening offshore, geopolitical risks. I mean, you name it, there's been lots of sort of headwinds buffeting offshore. But onshore, a real lack of anything. I mean, I don't know what your SENS screen tells you, but there was very little news flow.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
There was briefly, I saw a trading update from Brait. That stock was up about 6 or 7%, I think. Oh, 8%. There we go. Look at my screens now. 8% by the close. Well, they sneaked through with a bit of news just saying that it planned to cut some of its debt, possibly through asset sales, raising equity or recapitalization. So pick one, shareholders. I'm not sure which one they're going to do. But very little depth to that. But besides that, it was very thin.
Okay, let's just contextualize what you've just said, because Brait was at one stage, what, 160, 170 rand per share?
I actually had to do a double take because I thought, what has it done this year? And I was looking at it. When the news came out, I saw it was actually down 48, 49%. So it's halved on the year. And I had to do a double take because it was actually started the year at $30. I mean, I remember the share being, as you said, 100, 100 and somewhere, 170 back at its peak. I can't believe that it's halved. And it's sitting at 17 rand a share. I mean, you remember this share when it halved, you think it would be $80, not 17. So yes, but long overdue. They need to do something to try get some confidence back in the share price. It's been long-suffering shareholders.
Yes, the board of Brait and Brait's corporate advisors, Brait South Africa Proprietary Limited and Brait Advisory Services UK Limited, they keep it in-house here, have been engaged in an extensive process to materially reduce the debt on Brait's balance sheet, which is part of the strategy of maximising shareholder value. I mean, it almost sounds positive, doesn't it? But it's 17 rand a share. It's one-tenth of what it was.
It sounds positive, and I think, some of these companies are a little bit cheeky, and because I remember when they wrote down their shareholding in New Look, which is that that high street fashion brand in the UK, in the United Kingdom, and they wrote it down to zero, and everyone said, "Oh, well, they've finally written that thing off for zero." But technically, to the accountants out there, you can't write it down to zero. There's outstanding bonds on it that need to be serviced. It's a monstrous amount of debt, and effectively, they've got to still service that debt. So this debt issue is eating it away, and it's not as simple as just writing it off. There's a lot of moving parts that need to be done, and yes, the board and the management have really had a tough time, and shareholders even tougher.
The board of Brait has also engaged with Titan, represented by one Dr. Christo Visser and his related entities.
I was going to say, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, which in aggregate represent the largest shareholder in Brait. Titan has also been approached by a number of third-party investors with a view to support Brait's efforts mentioned above and invest in what is a quality portfolio of assets. Is it me, or I can't be nasty because I've got to look in my wing mirror when I drive home this evening. Is it me, or is Christo Visser, I don't know, not a bad seed, but certainly a bad omen whenever it comes to anything he touches in the last 2 years?
Oh, yeah, I mean, gone from being market darling to people trying to shun it, and shun him and his investments. There was more depth to the story, I think, in the weekend papers. Those who have the unfortunate having to read the Sunday Times, I don't. But there was a little bit more depth in it about they are trying to basically spin off most of the assets and keep Virgin active, which is the sort of cash cow in that business.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the sort of the plan behind it. And the likes of Iceland Foods and the New Look and a few of the others, they want to spin off. But it also begs the question. I love when companies say this. They say, we're going to get rid of all our non-performing assets. Well, in this current environment, who's going to buy them?
Yeah.
Where's your buyer? And no one ever asks that question. It's like, yeah, it's a great idea. I'm going to sell it at 100, but the bid's at 10. So yeah, the story's going to run for a while, I think, Lindsay.
Yeah, it's not great. It was just an ego-fueled lot of nonsense, actually, at 170. And I have to say that the asset management industry in South Africa, and probably internationally as well, bought into the story, and it was completely injudicious and gung-ho. And it's a sad
story. A bit of ego there, too. And of course, as often happens with these things, they pick the perfect storm, and it's almost like self-fulfilling, isn't it? Because as they ran offshore and tried to sort of do what they needed to do, they got smacked with Brexit, and they got smacked with, in the UK's mess, and the retail apocalypse, and I'm sorry, but it's going to take a lot more than spinning off a couple of assets to rejig the share price.
Well said. Let's have a look at the spot prices now in order to give us an idea. Spot prices. Okay, here we go. The Rand was 14.97 at one stage this morning. It's currently 14.85 against the US dollar. Against the British pound, it's 18.46. Against the euro, it's 16.33. And the euro dollar is 109.96. The dollar clawing its way back a little bit, having been around about... the euro clawing its way back a bit after some terrible PMI data from France and Germany earlier on today. The gold price, in the face of that strong US dollar, is $15.25, which is strange because it's up $9 or 0.6%. That's an interesting one, and that tells you something about the geopolitical tensions that you spoke about earlier on. The platinum price is up $16 now to $9.62, which is good news. What have you got with palladium there, Nick?
Palladium also up quite a bit. So I've got it up almost 0.6%. I think this is...
What's the level? Sorry, just give me the level because I've got 16.08 on my screen. What have you got?
No, I've got 16.12 at the moment.
Okay, well, that's close enough. That's pretty good. That's close to a multi-month high.
Absolutely, it's almost near the highs.
Yeah, exactly. The oil price is $64.66, which is down 18. That's Brent crude in London. So not much going on there. In the United States of America, we think that everybody's on holiday because we're on holiday in South Africa tomorrow, but not a bit of it. Things going on as normal. The Dow Jones futures this morning were around about 100 points higher, but we've got the Dow Jones itself down, let's call it 20 points. S&P very slightly weaker as well, as is the Nasdaq, and every single European market after that very, very poor set of PMI, purchasing manufacturers.
I wanted to elaborate more on that because...
Go on.
Because a lot of the current trade environment, or the trading environment or investment environment, is being driven by this risk on, risk off, you know, about the Chinese trade wars and is growth slowing, are we ending the era cycle, etc. Now, a lot of the numbers and the data that have been coming out have certainly pointing to a slowdown. We started off this morning, I think we spoke about on the show, there were some numbers out of South Korea, which is effectively the tech sort of central ground zero for chip manufacturers and everything else. They've got their own shenanigans with their fight with Japan as well, but they had the worst export numbers, down 41%. I mean, I saw a headline, either JP Morgan or one of the more sort of somber banks, saying exports in South Korea had cratered, was the expression they used. Then, of course, we come along today and the PMI numbers that came out at 9 o'clock our time in the morning. Germany is you can argue what you want, but Germany's effectively in recession. It's probably been in recession for a while on the manufacturing side. France followed pretty suit with also terrible set of numbers. And then this afternoon in the US, we had a little bit better, I think, on the manufacturing side, but it was weaker on the other data points. So there's nowhere to hide it. Every data point that's coming through is signifying that the world is slowing, manufacturing slowing, PMIs are effectively under that 50 level, which signifies recessionary or certainly no growth. Then you throw in on top of that, you can start to understand why the likes of Draghi and all these uber dovish central bankers are cutting rates aggressively to sort of under that zero bound level. Now you can start to understand. They are frantically, after 10 years, trying to reignite this world growth. But what makes me laugh is they're throwing the same problem even bigger at it, cut rates further and further into zero. This hasn't worked for the last 10 years. So we really are, if you look at the data points, I think we're heading into quite a scary end to the year. And I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't want to be a scaremonger, but it certainly doesn't bode well. certainly doesn't.
What doesn't bode well is certain stocks that are linked to the global economy and also the South African economy. And the one I'm looking at the moment, because I want to introduce on a quiet day some kind of talking point, and that is Sasol. I'm trying to get up, and there we go, the one-year graph of Sasol. In fact,
let
me go to the...
Rather not look at that.
Nick Kunze seems to be long of Sasol. Let's have a look at Sasol over the last 1 year, and it's just refreshing at the moment. Goodness me, this thing was really, really high not so long ago. October 18, it was 550 Rand per share. It went down and then it rallied up close to around about 485, 490. And it's just been a steady, steady downtrend since then. And this is despite today a stable oil price and a weak South African Rand. This tells you something. It tells you something about the Lake Charles project, obviously, but also tells you something about what people are thinking about the future of the oil price. And I just wonder if Sasol is a leading indicator when it comes to oil. Maybe we should be selling oil because of its prospect of going down to $35, $40 a barrel again. But it's an amazing graph. I mean, we look at it every day, but today it's down 3.02% on my delayed screen. And not looking good.
Yeah, that actually is the closing price. Yeah, the 277. Yeah, down 3.2%. No, it doesn't. And you know, Sasol used to be fairly for the traders out there, and Greg Davies and his punting buddies would allude to this. This was quite a reasonably good trading stock. You know, if the rand was down and natural gas prices were low and the oil price was higher and there was a strong, you know. There were a couple of little metrics, and you could trade off the back of it. This is not following the script at the moment. In fact, you talk about sort of the canary in the coal mine. A couple of months ago, there were a little bit of warning signs because you had days when oil was up, the rand was weak, and then Sasol would be down, you know, 2-3%. And that just didn't make sense because it's a fairly easy equation. It's very leveraged towards the rand dollar price and, of course, the price of the oil. And, yeah, you might be onto something. You know, don't forget, it was only 9 days ago. It was nine 1 week trading days ago, where we walked in on Monday morning and that we had that 20% spike in oil. It was a week ago. Have you seen how much oil has come off since then? I mean, people forget that before that spike, oil was also telling a story. You know, the global economy is slowing down. And yes, this might be quite a good proxy for global growth, certainly from a South African perspective.
What do you think? Our fictitious hedge fund, the Kunze-Williams algorithmic trading fund for high net worth individuals.
The AI.
Exactly. We'll start with oil position. So let's go short of oil at $65 a barrel. That's Brent crude. And see what happens. I reckon by the end of the year, it'll be 45. 55?
Yeah, look, I mean, take one something that is very correlated to world growth. I mean, what has it got to be? Energy. It's got to be oil. And if you think the world is slowing down and PMIs and all these are going under 50, no matter how much. I actually learned something interesting last week, Lindsay. I was talking to someone after this oil sort of pop on the Monday. And I saw some asset manager coming out and say, well, America's awash with oil. They've got fracking left, right, and center. They can just turn the taps on. And then I heard an oil expert just laughing and saying it's absolute rubbish because there's like 16 different sort of grades of oil from the sweets, you know, the sweets and the crudes and all the rest of it. Maybe you know more about this than me. And you can't just turn the tap in America who are doing 2 billion barrels a day and automatically try, because that you can't use that oil in certain types of machinery, etc. So the world is certainly looking like it's slowing down and there might be too much oil around, which will signify a much lower oil price. So maybe the Lindsay AI Alpha Fund might be onto something.
Okay. There was a crude oil brand from the North Sea called Bonnie Light. Bonnie was the name of the facility, the rig, and it was digging this stuff out of the sea, and it was a very, very highly prized grade of oil. North Sea crude, and a friend of mine that I used to work with, his father was a Nigerian fellow, and he was invested in the North Sea, and he had a horse called Bonnie Light. It was 2 years old, and it won its first race at Newmarket by a country mile. And I'm not saying anything about the gentleman in question, but I can tell you that this thing was still running 2 hours later.
Well, it reminds me, you know, a bit of nostalgia, reminds me of a very famous hedge fund manager who was basically all he used to do is write options. And it all went swimming well for years and years and years. And he ended up buying himself a boat, and he called the boat Positive Carry, basically going, sure, that was the name of his boat, Positive Carry. It was this monster boat in Monaco Harbor called Positive Carry. Anyway, of course, the world imploded about 12 months late, and Positive Carry was no more. But yes, it was an interesting story.
We've got those stories now. Let's have a look at the, before we go on to the top five major movers, ups to the upside and the downside. Most viewed shares on sharenet.co.za today: Sabania up nearly 6%, Steinhoff down 3.6%, DRD Gold a massive 8.5% mover to R7.53. That's been a hugely, beautifully leveraged share when it comes to the movement in the gold price. Sasol down 3% to 277. On the upside, let's have a look at the other ones as well. Harmony up 6.1%. Sibanye up 5.7%. Mm-hmm. Goldfields a 4.4% winner. Northam up 4.1%. The platinum
spot producer,
the theme.
Course.
And Anglo Gold Ashanti up 3.2%. Yeah, even I can spot the theme there. And it's suddenly happening. Do you think this is a precursor to the actual metals doing something? Although they are doing something, do you think that gold this time is going to break 1550? Because when it does, it's off to the races.
Look, gold. Gold has been trading quite interesting. When we came in this morning, we were chatting on the show. It was 1511.
Yes.
So on a day of. Let me say the dollar hasn't moved enough to signify a $12 move in the gold price. I think these PMI numbers, and we've got the UN Council. There's a conference in New York at the moment for 3 days, and there was some rhetoric out of Drahi and a few other people speaking. I think gold at the moment is just the go-to product. For the last three or four years, gold has not displayed any of its sort of safe haven status. You know, we went through debt ceilings and Greece and Cyprus years ago, hardly budged. All of a sudden, with central bankers looking like they're having a final throw of the dice, gold is coming to the fore. So I think let's watch this one. I mean, this could, you're right. If it goes through 1550, then I think the next stop's about 1680 on the technical side.
It's tried there three times. I think 1550. I think there's a big option play, but we'll see. Tiger Brands is the leader of the downers on the JSE today by falling 4%. Discovery down 3.9%. It was 128 not that long ago. It's now 114 again, which is quite a big move. PSG Consult down 3.75%. Quilter down 3.1%. And Sasol, as we said earlier on, 3.02% weaker to 277. So it's a really split decision on the JSE. It's the Rand hedge stocks, the diggers, rather than the producers or the financial services. So a very, very interesting day. You're going to give me now the volume before you go to the JSE indices. We'll do it the other way around. What was the volume today?
I had the volume at 18 billion value traded.
That was not bad.
Before the auction. It's not bad, but still, compared to the 25, 27s, and 30s we had last week, it's still fairly thin. It's sort of 20% what we were seeing the week before.
Last week was a really good week, actually, when it came to volume.
We had closed out and a few things as well.
Yeah, you'd had a sniff of the barmaid's apron at the Westcliff on Friday afternoon. You didn't give me the volume.
Getting very excited.
I spoke to David Shapiro today, and he said it was something like 60 billion on Friday. Is that correct?
No, it was a big number. Yeah. Don't forget, it was the reweighting. Eh? We had all the implants coming in, and I think there's a couple of tweets. I think Greg and I were sort of sending them out back and forwards about, welcome back to the top 40 Impala Platinum.
Fantastic.
And then I got my, wrapped on the knuckles. I said, also mention Sabania too. So, but I actually find this whole thing quite fascinating. In 2019, with, everything dominated by tech and Amazon and cloud service and all the rest of it, we're getting miners going back into the most traded weighted stocks in the index. Surely there's a story in there somewhere. It's a lovely turn of events, actually.
Yes, it is. Nick,
the more things change, the more they stay the same. Eh?
Exactly. There's nothing new in this world, only the history you don't know. Let's have a look at the JSE indices, according to yourself, on the close of a day before the Heritage Day.
Yeah, so let's just do a recap before the four-day week, before tomorrow's holiday. It was not a pretty day on the JSE, despite the thin volumes. All share closing down 836 points, or 1.48% down, at 55,570. And of course, the top 40 tradable index, 1.55% down 782 points to close at a handle of 49,559. And then there was no, besides the gold shares, which were the shiners, financials down 0.4, basic materials down 1, healthcare the lag, and the biggest drop on the day, energy down 2.79. But we don't have to look far for that. You know, that was the Sasol was the big drag on that one.
Thank you very much. And just remind us of the volume again. You said just below 20 billion, which is...
18 billion, that's right.
Exactly. Not bad. We were used to 12, 13s just a couple of months ago. My quotes of the day, I've got two quotes today. Thomas Cook went bust this morning, or 3 a.m. this morning, actually, South African time, which is just extraordinary considering it started in 1843, survived two world wars, but didn't survive Brexit, lack of confidence, and also, I suppose, the competition in an industry that has rapidly changed. In other words, you don't
changing
have to,
times, eh?
Yeah, you don't have to book through a travel agent these days. Anyway, in the 1970s, there was an ad campaign by Thomas Cook, and it went like this: "Don't just book it, Thomas Cook it." I think people will be replaying that. But more importantly, Confucius, he said the following: "Choose a job you love, and you'll never have to work a day in your life." Do you feel like that, Nick?
I think I'm quite blessed in that respect. Yeah, I love what I do. And I mean, I always remember someone saying, if you follow your passion, you know, the money will certainly follow. I'm still waiting. I follow my passion.
Yeah, one day I'll find my passion. Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with us on Wednesday morning for the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.